Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Holy Spirit, that's the cry of our hearts, that you will fall like rain in this place. Let your glory come. May we know your presence. Because where your presence is, there is liberty. There is freedom. In fact, Lord, you said when we gather in your name, you are present, and whatever we agree upon will be done. So, Lord, together we agree today that everything heaven has for us, we receive. And now, Lord, would you speak to us through your word? May your word bring life. May your word bring light. May your word bring transformation. I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word today. So anoint me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Good to see you all in church today, those of you who are here in person. But also want to make a special note of a friend who served us. As Wetoto Church, we are part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God in Uganda. And one of their former leaders, who's now retired, Reverend Benjamin Okwi, is here. Yeah, good to have you. Yeah. These are generals in the faith, and Reverend Benjamin is telling us stories of how they used to travel on bicycles to go and preach the gospel, and just make sure that people get to know about Jesus. And now he's continuing to be refired up in Lira. So thank you for coming to church today. Good to have you. I also want to welcome those who are watching online, on air, or listening to us on our radio station, Power FM. You are absolutely welcome. It's an honor to have you be a part of the service. Yesterday, I met a gentleman who said to me, "Hey, Pastor, thank you so much for broadcasting the services. We're really blessed because we have different schedules, and it's a blessing that we can be part of church even when we've not been able to go to the physical location." So let's welcome our wonderful friends that are joining us online. Well, next week is a big week for us as a church, but also as a nation. We get to celebrate 63 years, is that right, of independence. My goodness. That is quite a journey. That is amazing. But also, we're going to celebrate that. Next week, we're also going to begin a brand new series because we are getting ready for our annual miracle missions offering. Yeah. Yeah, that's the time of the year where we give generously to advance the kingdom of God. And our theme for our miracle offering this year is bold generosity. We want to give unashamedly to advance the kingdom of God. We want to see people come to Jesus. And we've also set an audacious goal, $2 million. Wow! That creates chills. But you know what? If we all just say, "God, how do you want me to be a part of advancing your kingdom by being boldly generous this year together?" We can't even exceed that goal. We've seen God do it before. And so it's going to be a record for us as Wetoto, but we're going to trust God. Because this year our theme is bold, strong, courageous. And that's what we want to do. So begin to pray and ask God, "God, how can I be a part of this?" And the moment you say, "God, I'm here," he will provide. It belongs to him for his work. And start setting it aside. And on the first weekend of November, do not plan to be anywhere else. You got to be here, because when we give like that, that generously, we dance, we celebrate, because every dollar is a life changed. That's what it represents. And so let's be a part of it. It's going to be exciting. Today we want to conclude our series, Uganda Arise. And it's a prophetic series that is speaking to the nation, because some things as a nation will keep us behind. And so we need to rise out of them so we can begin to experience everything God has for us as a nation, or even as an individual, or even as a family, you can. And our key scripture is from Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 to 3. This was also our theme scripture a few years ago when there was so much darkness around COVID. And I mean, churches were not gathering. And some people began to say, this is the end of the era of church. Their churches are irrelevant. What people didn't understand is that church is not the building. Church is people. Is the people of God who love Jesus. And coming out of that very dark shadow, this became our theme scripture many years ago. But it's now the theme for our series that we've been doing in the past few weeks. And here's Isaiah speaking to a nation in darkness. And he says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. In other words, get up, like we sang. Get up, your light has come. Begin to shine. Quit all those works of darkness. That's what he's saying here. And then in verse 2, for in fact, he says, darkness has covered the earth, and deep darkness will cover the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, Jerusalem, Uganda, and his glory and brilliance will be seen on you. I love this text. It simply says, when you arise, God will also rise. When we choose to quit all the works of darkness, God gets ready to shine his glory on us. And then verses 3 says, once we begin to shine with the glory of God, this is what happens. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Great series. Uganda, arise. And there are some things that we needed to address through this series. We talked about the issues of injustice and how we need to arise and begin to advocate for justice in our nation, in society. I think it must have been Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. who said, injustice anywhere will affect justice everywhere. Because the only way to cover up injustice is by doing another injustice. And it just keeps going around. We need to break that cycle of injustice. We can't live in a society that's based on injustice. God can't bless that. We also talked about rising to integrity, living lives of integrity. And I love that, because somehow integrity is something that's talked about. We even have a ministry, I think, that is in charge of integrity. Can you believe? But integrity is not the ministry. Integrity is us, how we live every single day. Now, there is a friend of ours who sent us something on integrity. And it was just about an integrity test. Are you ready for it? Let me find it here. We're just going to try this, okay? This is a simple integrity test for the people who are seated next to you. And you will be the judge, okay? There's a simple integrity. It was so funny. One of our leaders group and someone sent it. So this is an integrity test. If you usually put more sugar in your tea when in a hotel or when visiting than you do when you're at your home, you're likely to be corrupt. Second one, okay? If you use more tissue in a public washroom than you do at home, you're a potential thief if given opportunity. Oh my goodness. This is for those who love attending weddings. If you serve yourself more food than you can finish, not minding whether it will go around, and just because someone else is footing the bill, you're greedy and you'll steal if your opportunity presents itself. As an integrity test, I don't know how your neighbor's doing so far. If you usually jump queues, you have the potential of abusing office if given a powerful position. One more, because it's getting quieter. If you usually overtake while in traffic jam or have no regard for traffic lights, then you would easily embezzle public funds. Let me leave it there. That's so funny. So we talked about integrity, but today we want to conclude the series by talking about a very important subject, as we have observed and seen what is going on in the nation. This is an important one for us to address, and that is, this is the simple message: stop idolatry, let's start serving God alone. There is a rise of idolatry in our country. Some of it is outright idol worship and ancestral spirit worship and witchcraft. Some of it comes as a mixture. We mix our faith with all these other gods. Listen, my friends, God cannot be mocked. He is either Lord of everything or he's not Lord at all. And there's this subtle idolatry that has come, and it is becoming acceptable for us to really accommodate other gods. Business today is more spiritual than strategic. I've gone down to our marketplace area downtown. My goodness, there are mount of witchcraft down there. In the corporate circles, people trying to take positions by doing witchcraft and putting stuff in people's tea or whatever. It's crazy. I've had the privilege of going to pray with some people who are in parliament, members of parliament. When you are in that place, you can sense just the amount of evil that goes on there. Idolatry and all this worship of other gods and ancestral spirits is becoming more and more pronounced. And my friends, we need to stop that idolatry if we're going to be a blessed country. It's the political season. And here's what's going to happen. Politicians are going to come to church and they're going to go to the shrine. They're going to be given chickens and goats and all those kinds of things. One gentleman who was standing for politics here, a member of the church, said to me, "Pastor, the pressure is too much. My team, my campaign team, who know I'm a Christian, have said there's no way we can succeed until we appease the gods." You know, somehow, my friends, we found ourselves where the nation of Israel was. They had turned away from God and entertained idols to the point that idolatry had even infiltrated the palace, the king. And one of the most must-seen examples of that is with King Ahab and the Queen Jezebel. She had witches on her payroll. And the nation somehow that was birthed by God, that was supposed to honor God, now found itself where they had other gods, idols that had invaded the highest places of leadership in the nation. And so the prophet Elijah comes and he begins to confront that idolatry. And he speaks to the nation. He says to them, why are you continuing to waver between two opinions? Idolatry and God. And his message is the same message we're giving today to our country. You gotta stop idolatry and serve God alone. He said, if God be God, then serve him. And then he said, but if Baal be God, then continue and serve Baal. But then he called for demonstration. He said, let's see which God you need to serve. The one who answers by fire is the God of Israel. And they had a public display. They had Elijah there and all the prophets of Baal. And they cried out to their idol God who couldn't respond. And they did it day, the whole day, nothing was happening. And then Elijah stands up, he who was serving God alone, and he prayed, oh God of Israel, let everyone know that I'm your prophet and you are God. And the one who answers by fire was God of the Bible. He consumed the sacrifice, demonstrating that we don't need any other God. We can serve God alone and he's sufficient. He's sufficient. There's a blessing in serving God alone and not mixing him with others. He can't be mixed with others. And listen, God doesn't need assistance. Because for some of us say, you know, yeah, this is what I've heard people say. You need to serve God, but also have a backup plan. God doesn't need backup plans. He's almighty. He's the creator. No need. Tell me any other God was created. None. Here's what the psalmist says. Blessed is the nation, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33 verse 12. When we put God first and serve him alone, we will be blessed as a nation. But now we have this competition, a rising idolatry in our country. When you look at the journey of our country, Uganda, to the point of having a motto, for God and my country, shows the rich Christian heritage we had that really was putting God at the center of everything. From the time the missionaries came, almost 150 years ago, and the gospel was preached and began to radically change people's lives and began to see education, because through that we had education and medical care and different things began to come to our country and development started to happen. Things began to change. At some point, it became very religious, a form of religion by denying the power therein. God had the cry of people. There was the East Africa revival that happened. And now that one got people to a place where they're saying, no, this is not just about religion, it's about a relationship with God and serving him alone. It was a whole movement of saying, I quit my old life, I give my all to Jesus. And that's where the beautiful song, Tukutendereza Yesu, comes from. The movement when people were just getting saved and some people got touched them to start churches. That's how local churches began to start here in Uganda. But as time has gone by, and now we are beginning to see Uganda prosper a little bit, we are seeing an uprising of idolatry. And it's not just coming in a form of ancestral worship. We are seeing idolatry coming in form of power, where power seems to be everything. People have idolized power. People have idolized people in power. People are even idolizing themselves. It's about me and what I want. And so if it doesn't make me happy, I just walk out. It's about self-pleasure. And that comes with all its package of the sex and all these kinds of things. I want to do what I want when I want. You know, idolatry comes in different fashions. An idol is anything, any person, or any pursuit that takes the place of God and begins to demand our worship. And we're seeing that. But today, my friends, if we want to enjoy the blessings of God Almighty, we must stop all idolatry and serve the one true God of the Bible. Let the motto for Uganda, which is "For God and my country," be real. Let it be truly for God. Let it be truly for the people around us. So Uganda, arise. Stop all this idolatry. Let's serve God alone. We can learn from the Bible when it comes to this subject of idolatry. We can learn from God's people, the people of Israel. They were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. And while their generation after generation was only exposed to how the Egyptians treated gods, they had so many gods. In fact, some people say they had almost 2,000 gods. A god for everything. God of fertility, God of the harvest, God of the Nile, God of whatever. They had all these gods, and all that the children of Israel knew was these gods around them. And when it came to the moment when God was saying, okay, it's time for me to take you to the promised land and set you free from this culture that's around you, what God did is the 10 plagues, by the way, were all demonstrating God's sovereignty over the gods they worshipped. God was demonstrating, I am God alone. You can trust me. You don't need these other gods. Yes. And when he was kept on, Moses went to Pharaoh, let God's people go, let God's people. Pharaoh was also a god he was worshiping. He said, I want, until God demonstrated his power over Pharaoh by saying, by the way, when it comes to life and death, I'm in charge. That last plague where the firstborn sons were dying, God demonstrated something of the gospel. He said, for you, the children of Israel, sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. When this angel of death, which everybody feared, comes, he won't touch you. You know what God was saying? Trust me. I am going to give the lamb who is Jesus. And he will shed his blood. You can trust him and no devil in hell can touch you. You don't need to trust these other gods. And when the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, guess what? Pharaoh said, we are coming after you. God still demonstrated that he is God. When they stood by the sea, he told Moses, be still and know that I'm God. Today, these people coming against you, you will see no more. Split the ocean, destroyed every enemy to demonstrate he is God alone. In the middle of the desert, God gives them ways in which they were to live. The Ten Commandments. The first four are about having one God alone. Did you know that? God was trying to say, hey, you've come from an environment of all these gods, and now I'm taking you to the promised land where they are also worshiping foreign gods, but I want you to know you only need me. Exodus 20. This is what the Bible says, and God spoke all these words. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And here comes the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Yeah. Listen, my friends, are you having other gods? Has your job become your God? Has money become your God? Have you entertained some of these foreign gods in your life? You shall have no other God before me. The second commandment in verse 4, he says this, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or earth beneath or in the waters below. Our city is full of images that have been made. You walk by them. Some of you work in places where the image is right there. That image must be dressed up. It must be cleaned. It can't help itself. It's dead. And some of them need to go to the gym. There's some which have bigger pot bellies than mine. But some of us carry certain things, items. So I have this one, it will help me in my interview. I have this, it will help me in my marriage. You shall have nothing made by humans, by anyone, that will replace God. Nothing. And the consequences, my friends, of having other gods are really, let me tell you, we fail morally, ethically, the corruption and all of that. The damage is devastating. But the damage when it comes to a spiritual failure, idolatry, is colossal. It is, here's what the Bible says. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Idolatry has generational impact. Some of us are first generation Christians, and we are dealing with a family history of witchcraft. You know how hard it is. How it comes through to our kids. It comes through to our work. Idolatry is not something to be played with. Anytime you participate in any form of idolatry, you open a door for Satan. Yes. And Satan's agenda is simple, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's up to. He just wants to destroy. And not just you, but generations. I know I'm speaking this message to the nation, but I'm also speaking to us. Because idolatry is not up in the air. It is people that participate in it. Chapter verse 7 of Exodus 20 says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. How we abuse the name of the Lord. Many times. We say, okay, let's come, let's pray. In the name of the Lord. And then the next day, you are at a shrine. You say you're calling on God for our nation, and then go and say, let's try these other ancestors for our nation. Uganda, stop this idolatry. Let's serve God alone. He's the only one who can truly bless. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. We don't need any other gods. Of course, the fourth commandment is about keeping a day holy. A day dedicated to God. Now, how do we deal with the reality of the fact that idolatry has really infested our land and is right in our neighborhoods? And there's a couple of years ago, some friends say to me, hey, there's a piece of land that I showed up that the church could buy for one of our campuses. And the land agent, property agent said, come and we go. And we went, and we went to this place up on a hill, one of the hills here in the city. Man, as I was driving up, there were little shrines everywhere, some pots, and then animals that were going to be, and then get on top of the hill, witches all over the place. In the city, with prime property. I was so mad. I said, God, how come these guys have this kind of property? Anyway, they don't have it. They're just there doing their witchcraft. The unfortunate thing is the people in the city are going there all the time. People were mixing Christianity and African traditional religions. We can't do that. We can't do that. That's why God told the children of Israel, you'll have one God. You can't even have an image next to it. Don't misuse my name. Don't come and say, oh Lord, I worship you, and you go to these other gods. So how do we deal with this? For us to arise out of this darkness. It's the same thing that God told to Solomon. Because there is a key, a fantastic key. God was saying, hey, when you have gone astray and my blessing is not with you and you are having all this trouble because Satan is bringing it on you, you have turned away from me, here's what you're going to do. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it was at the dedication of the temple after Solomon had given a bold, generous offering to God and was dedicating this beautiful temple, God shows up and he begins to unpack a solution for when you find yourself in a mess as a nation. He says to Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 to 15, when the heavens are shut up, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. In other words, you're living under a curse and not a blessing. God gives the solution in verse 14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Healing is possible. God shows us how. In fact, in verse 15, it says, now, when we do that, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. The best way to live is in a place where God's eyes and God's ears are all for you. God of the universe, the creator, saying, hey, I'm all ears, I'm all eyes. I'm watching over you and I'm listening to you. Wow. From the text, here's what God says we need to do in order to stop idolatry and serve God alone. First thing is we must repent. To repent is to acknowledge that you have gone astray and then turn to God. What is it that you are carrying? What is it that you has taken the place of God? What is it that you are worshiping? It's time to say, God, I am sorry. I have made this take your place. I repent and turn to you. And today I know Holy Spirit is asking us to repent. Because some of us know exactly what I'm talking about. There are things you're holding on to help you, and you shouldn't. Start in the place of God, I'm sorry, I repent. But as your repentance must be demonstrated in action, you gotta drop those things. Go pick them, burn them. Go throw them out. Hello? I love our African cultures. They have some beautiful parts about them. Our food, the way we dress, the way we courteous to one another, the idea of community, those are amazing. We must celebrate them. But there are some cultural practices that are demonic. And we mustn't entertain them. Drop them. Some of us parents, when our kids are getting married, we submit to the culture of the people around us. And so let's just do it. It's just so that everyone is happy. How do you open the door to Satan and think you're trying to please everybody? Some of us have forced our kids. We've taken our kids. Some of us have done them. Oh, I'm having some marriage trouble. Come, I'm going to give you a certain thing that's going to work. You're opening a door to Satan. Gotta stop. God alone is sufficient. Gotta repent of that stuff. Repent individually, as a family, as a nation. Today we'll do that together. He says, if you pray, if you seek my first, that's the second thing. We gotta pray. Because idolatry opens a door to Satan. The only way to deal with the demonic influence of idolatry is through prayer, my friends. You cannot handle spiritual battle using the arm of flesh. It will fail you. You gotta pray. There are certain things that have come into our lives and somehow they've been invited by ourselves or other people that are casting spells on us because we stood for Christ. The way we overcome that is on our knees, is when we pray. Listen, when God's weakest child goes on their knees, all of hell trembles because God Almighty would respond to them. He will. So God says, hey, when all this stuff is happening that is evil, pray. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive sin and I'll come and heal you. Hallelujah. We pray. We pray. We engage in prayer. Paul talking about prayer, writing to the church in Ephesus, that was a place that was full of prosperity, but also full of idolatry. Because they had this big temple in Ephesus. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. An idol, Artemis, Diana, this goddess. And they worshiped this idol. And Paul preached there and people got saved. They quit that stuff and threw away all these images they were carrying of Diana until the silversmith and the people who are doing business began to lose business. Because somehow people were no longer buying the idols, they were throwing them away. It was so bad that the idol makers decided to create a riot and chase Paul out. And Paul was telling them, hey guys, what you saw was physical, but something spiritual was happening. So he writes in Ephesians 6, he says, hey, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Listen, my friends, spiritual warfare is not video game warfare. Video games, you try, you quit, you do this. This is a war against your soul. It's a war against your family. It's a war against your future. You put on the full armor. That's what Paul is saying. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Paul was saying, hey guys, don't take light this idolatry in Ephesus. You gotta be ready for war. And when you read that entire chapter, he talks about praying all kinds of prayer. We gotta pray. Oh, when we pray, God hears us. You know, on the 8th of October, as a church, we're going to host an inter-church gathering of prayer right here at downtown. we are going to be crying out to God and repenting and praying. Elections are coming. God is in charge. He knows how to take care of our land. We are going to cry out and say, this bloodthirsty spirit, Satan, who will try to bring God shedding of blood, will not. And we're going to do it on our knees. And of course, we must continue to preach the gospel, because the gospel is the hope for Uganda. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God that brings salvation. But finally, I want to challenge you to stop idolatry and serve God alone. Simply means this: you have chosen to be a devoted follower of Jesus alone. You know what that is called? A disciple. Uganda is 80% Christian. But where is our impact? 15% of those said they are evangelical. Where is the impact? Let me tell you what the challenge is. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're a disciple. God wants us to be disciples. Disciples are the ones who have quit the old way of life, quit the idolatry, and have said, I'm living for God alone. That's who a disciple is. So I'm challenging you. Let's be disciples. That's what it is about. So we're going to, yes, repent. You turn away from our wicked ways. We have to pray. It's important. We must continue preaching the gospel, because it's the good news that brings salvation. But we need to live boldly as disciples. We need to arise and shine as disciples. Jesus said, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Today I challenge you, my friend, make up your mind to be a disciple. I'll end with this. And worship team, you can come up. There's a beautiful, beautiful writing that was a representation of conviction about being a disciple that is attributed to a missionary that wrote it while they were really doing their work. And I love it. Some of you have heard it, but I'm going to read it again. And it is about being part of the fellowship of the unashamed. Those who are bold and are saying, I'm living it all for Jesus. This is what this person wrote. He said, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or even be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I do not have to be right. I do not have to be first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. Listen, he says, I now live by faith. I love by patience. I live by prayer, and I labor by power. My pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I am a disciple. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, nor meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up. I will not back up. I will not let up. I will not shut up until I have prayed up, preached up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me. I am a disciple. That's what God is looking for. Will you make that decision today? Stop the idolatry. Serve God alone. Let's all stand to our feet.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,